Hello. Amen. God bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Happy to have family from across the country with us today. So glad they're here. Amen. Let's turn to, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Bow our heads. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, when we walk in these doors just to commune with you and learn more about you, Lord, that you edify our souls and just touch us, Lord, in our personal lives and where we need guidance, Lord, and where we need healing and help. We just pray for all the afflictions of the saints, Lord, and all the members of the body, Lord, who are struggling, Lord. Just give them strength and give us strength here, Lord, to listen to what you have to say and that we take these words in and we really put them into our lives, Lord. Just pray that everything that's said will be edifying. Just forgive us of all things, Lord, and move us out the way as we come here to worship you. In your person, with Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them, which believes and know the truth. So here Paul is talking about, you know, he's realizing the need for guidance in the church, the need for, you know, people to have a, he's writing this to Timothy and talking about the need for guidance in the church, and that Timothy, you know, he's seeing the issues and he's seeing, you know, what can happen when people, you know, don't follow the word and they don't follow it closely. And then they go off. So he's seeing those, these seducing spirits, these doctrines of devils and all these things, the lies and hypocrisy. And you even see, you know, he's been pointing out doctrines that still exist today when he says, you know, forbidding to marry and those things and forbidding, commanding not to eat meat and all those things. And even we know today, there's that the Catholic idea that you get married to the church and, you know, priests can't get married. And we see what the result of that is that, you know, the wrongful desire that was in them wasn't cleansed out by God. They were just trying to repress it through the orders of the church and the orders of this and making things up that weren't in the Bible. So you can't just repress things. You have to let God cleanse those things out of you. It's not a repression, because when you repress things, they actually come back worse. So it's not just that, you know, we just try really hard to do what we're supposed to do, but we need to just let God cleanse those things out of us and not be, you know, wooed by these wrongful spirits and these wrong doctrines. And that's what Paul is seeing in the church. And verse 4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So this is for all of us to be good ministers. I love that scripture that Brother Branham teaches on, where it's, you know, we has made us kings and priests. So it's not just that, you know, we come here and then we you know, listen to a preacher, a minister, and then we go home and we do what we want. But we have to live the life as well. We have to also read. We have to study ourselves. And it's not that, you know, well, the minister does this and the minister's wife does that, but we're all kings and priests. We're all priests and we're all supposed to, you know, do what we're supposed to do. In verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' tales, fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, and having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now he's saying that bodily exercise profiteth little, but there's many things that, you know, that can be beneficial to us that might profiteth little. You know, you can be a good businessman, you can make some money, but it might profit, but it would profit little. And there's things you can do. You can be a good person, you can try and be a good neighbor, but it profiteth little if you're not seeking to godliness, if you're not exercising, you know, unto godliness. And that's what we want to exercise on. That's what we want to work towards in our daily lives, not just,
you know, to be an upstanding citizen or upstanding person of the community, but to be to exercise godliness and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And verse 11, these things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth. Now that is a scripture that a lot of people stop there. They say, let no man despise thy youth, and you can't judge the young people, you can't say anything to us. But you know, no man despise thy youth, but the scripture doesn't stop there. So let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So it's not just that, you know, we shouldn't let people despise our youth, but it's also that we don't give them a reason to. You know, the way, same way they tried to find fault with Daniel. They saw Daniel and they couldn't find fault with him. So they actually had to change the rules in order to find fault with him. So, you know, even as young people or just as believers, you know, when we see other people looking at our lives and looking at how we live, we want to always be, you know, living accordingly so that we don't get caught off guard, we don't get caught, you know, in the wrong place, in the wrong situation, but we want to be living our lives accordingly. We want to be examples in the church, examples in all things, so that, you know, when it's our time to be called, when it's our time to be used by God, that we're where we're supposed to be. Amen. So, and I'm sure we all want that for our young people, to be examples in the church. And Paul is telling this to Timothy, who's maybe, he doesn't want to overstep boundaries, and maybe he's, you know, there's a lot of leadership and eldership in the church, and he's wondering, like, you know, maybe I'm not even, like, old enough to do this or whatever he's thinking. But Paul is saying, no, you have a gift, and you need to use that gift. And regardless of, you know, your age, you know, God doesn't work by age. He doesn't work by money. He doesn't work by height. He doesn't work by any of those things. But he works by, you know, exercising yourself unto godliness and if you're surrendering yourself. And that's the type of, you know, leadership and that we want to see in everyone, and as well as the young people. And verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So, and that's a big part of the Christian experience, is that we do these things for ourselves, for the edifying of ourselves, but also to edify those around us and to help those around us. And you see a lot of things going around sometimes in the message, and, you know, it's sometimes people just need a good leadership and good examples in the church. But there's also things where that we want our young people to do well and to succeed. There's also things that our young people can't control. And I remember I was talking to a friend, and they asked me, you know, and there was youth camps going on, and there's always, you know, so some youth camp going on, and you know, things are good, and people can get experiences there. But he was asking me, you know, what do you think the young people need the most? And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I think what the young people need the most is surrendered parents. And I think that's really because they can go to youth camps, they can go to meetings, they can go to all these places, but if they come home and that Christian environment isn't there, you know, it's much harder to succeed. It's much harder to get through, you know. Of course, nothing is too hard for God. So there's, I really pray for young people who go to meetings and they don't have believing parents, and it's really hard for them to stay on the right path. But you know, it's always a blessing if you have godly parents, if young people, if you have godly parents. And parents, if you're setting that atmosphere for your children to receive something, you know. And, you know, we see these issues with, you know, people always talk about the generation and the schools and how kids are always struggling growing up. And every generation has its issues. But, of course, we know everything starts in the home. And even Brother Branham was talking about how it's not always the children, but sometimes it's the parents who are not, you know, teaching them right and raising them the right way and doing these things. And they'll stray off and do these things because there's not a Christian, you know, guidance and leadership at home. And That's why I love when Brother Dale talks about how we all need to, when we dedicate a child, we dedicate ourselves to live in front of them. You know, we need to be examples of the word, examples of those things. And, you know, I've talked to many people. I have many friends who are in the message, some who aren't, you know, some who were and then they left. And you know, the ones who left, they always see it as like, you know, just rules. They see it as rules. They don't see the love. And I wonder, you know, if maybe no one ever got to them, no one ever showed them that it was the love of God, and it was that you do these things because you love God and because of the goodness that He's done. And that, you know, it's and I notice this with the people who stay, is that they see God in their parents, and that's where they see Him first. You know, it's going to be hard for your child to deny God if they're being raised by God in flesh and you. So it's going to be hard for them to deny what's right in front of them, what they've been raised by, what they're seeing right in front of them. When they see that spirit and when they see you come home and they see you worship and there's a tape playing in the background and you're singing to the Lord, it's those different things. And the main reason I can say that is because I know that the number one thing outside of God Himself is the reason I'm here, is because I had a godly mother. And she showed me. It was her setting an example for me and her adhering to the word and not just, you know, going to church on Sundays, but Wednesdays, you know, listening on Wednesday and listening to tapes throughout the week and singing through the house and all these different things. And that environment needs to be set, you know. And my mom doesn't know what I'm going to say when I come up here, so. So pray for her. But, you know, and she might not even believe I'm going to say this, but I'm in the pulpit, so I'm not going to lie. But I know that if I could go back in time and control who was going to raise me, I would pick her, because I know that she has a real experience. I don't know what anyone else does at their house or what goes on, but I know that my mother has a real experience, and that I know that real experience led me to Christ, and I believe it would lead me to Christ again if I had to go back.
Amen.
Amen. And I think that is essential for the young people. And I'm just speaking from my own experience, you know. But I remember there's a, you know, your family who doesn't believe this, they can get critical sometimes. And I remember there was a conversation where, you know, it's like, oh, Milka doesn't let those boys do anything. They just go to church and back. And I was, and I thought, that's the worst thing she ever did. I think that's pretty good. And like I said, you can't deny God when you see Him, when you see Him living in someone. And if the brothers can pull up that quote from Doors and Doors that I gave them. And Brother Branham talks about, you know, letting the Lord in your heart. And he says, but what then when Jesus comes into the heart? Many people accept Him because they don't want to go to hell. But when Jesus comes into your heart, He wants to be Lord, not just Savior, but Lord also. Lord is rulership. He comes in to take over. Now you say, is that right, Brother Branham? Sure. What if I invited you at my house and you come in the door and knocked on the door, and when I looked inside, you said, yes, come on in. If you can help me, well, you do. So, but now when you come in, now I don't want you meddling around in my house. You stand right there at the door. Remember, our text is doors inside door. Now, inside the human heart, there's many little doors, and them little doors covers up a lot of things just to let Him in. That isn't all of it when He comes in. When I come in your house, if you're welcoming at the door, why, you'd say, come in, Brother Branham, I'm so glad to see you. I'd say, well, it's a privilege for me to come into your house. Oh, won't you come over and sit down, Brother Branham? Go through our house, make yourself at home. Oh, my. I'd go over to the refrigerator, get me one of those great big sandwiches about like that, take off my shoes and go in the bedroom. And I lay down and I just have a real gastronomical jubilee. So it's just letting the Lord in your heart and letting Him be your rulership and not just, you know, being scared. Because if there's one thing, if anyone's going to know about your experience, it's going to be your kids. Right. You're not going to hide anything from your kids. You can come here and pretend to us, and you can pretend at work, and you can pretend. But at home, they're going to know. And that's why you invite company over and they start saying things you don't want them to say, because that's the life you're living. So sometimes that happens. But, you know, they need that. That's why it's so important. I was even talking to my Sunday school kids last week about how, you know, you being an example And you letting the Lord in your heart is going to what's going to edify the saints. You know, there's we can say, oh, Lord, don't hinder anything because of what I've done or what I'm doing or my life. But really, you just need to get that cleaned out of you. So then there's no issue to begin with. There's nothing to hinder in the first place. So once that's out, and then you can be a true example to others. And, you know, one of the I don't want to come off as too critical to parents, but it's a very important job. It's a very crucial job. And one thing about it is that, you know, for our own personal experience, when we purify ourselves, it's only by the blood of God that we purify ourselves, that we were saved, and that we come through these things. And we throw away our past life, and we accept him, and we become an instrumentality of God, and we fully embrace him and make him Lord and rulership of our life. We let him in those doors. We let him in the house. We let him just put his feet up. We let him go wherever he wants. There's no door that's locked off. There's no door that, you know, Brother Branham talks about the door of pride and your private life and the sermon and all these different things, where there's a door that you kind of, you know, God, you can come in here, but oh, this little door right here, that's where all the bad stuff is. So I'm going to lock that door off. But, and like Brother Branham said, he's not going to break in. He's not going to try and push his way in. Yeah. It's going to be, you have to let him in because he's a gentleman. Yeah. But it's also that when we had faults and failures and parents in your own lives and own mistakes, when you had, you know, sin and it was by the blood, it was cleansed. So even if sometimes you make a mistake as a parent, you know, that can cover by the blood too. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that he can't fix and amend. There's nothing that's too broken for God. So just understand and trust that God is working. And if your child's not here, then they'll be here. Amen. Because that's covered by the blood too. So all your mistakes that God covered when you got saved, those same mistakes will be covered as a parent, and those same mistakes will be covered if you claim the blood and you watch your children walk in here. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.